Award-winning talk radio across the UK on 1053 and 1089 AM. KPMG Commercial Radio Station of the Year.
I love this audience. I want to embrace them all. Each and every one of you. Individually, if you insist, or we could all embrace each other in a circle.
You telephone a moronic DJ to talk about moronicism, what do you get?
Oh, he's going to stroke his cat. Stop sniffing.
I thought I could handle it, but now I've got the Abbott habit.
Are you still there, Hazel?
Yes, I am.
Go away!
Heidi, hi. I've been on hold since yesterday.
Have you?
Yes.
Hold this. There's nothing that's cold and intimidating about me. Warm. That's what pours out from me, isn't it?
You obviously enjoy your job. You obviously get peanuts, but you just don't stop moaning.
The year 2000, a new year. I mean, people are already planning for that. Where would you like to be?
You know where that international dateline is.
Oh, you're going to sit at home calling dateline?
Yes.
How are you said?
You tend to attract a lot of weirdos.
Yeah.
Makes you want to go...
Nick Abbott.
So Kev's back.
Oh, no.
What was that?
It's this thing. Isn't it great? It's like a little beanbag. These are wonderful. Everybody should have one of these. Everybody that's gone and bought the Jibber Jabber, which I've lost, I gave that away. There is no end to my magnanimity.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I said. And this thing, it's like a beanbag with a funny face on it. You remember those ice creams that were called funny faces?
Still get them, I think, can you?
You can?
Mm.
Well, this looks like a funny face ice cream, except it's bright orange. And I picked it up and I thought, what is it? Because it's got something inside of it, but it's not a squeezing thing. Because they normally come with buttons. You press them and it says, I love you, or something crap like that. But, so I thought, well, it just doesn't work. And I threw it away, and when it hits something hard, it goes...
Oh, no!
But you have to actually throw it against the wall or on the floor. Like that. Brilliant. So, Kev's back. Oh, no.
Yeah. Did you miss me?
No.
No, come on, you did. I heard about the show last night, actually. I nearly didn't come back because Mike was so much better than I am.
No.
No, he is. You know, I have to say, I missed the show while I was away, and I was thinking about it constantly while lying on the beaches of Morocco.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, really, I was.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm back now.
Morocco. Why did you choose Morocco again?
Because it's nice.
How did you know that before you went?
Because I've wanted to go to Morocco for a while, and it's nice. It just looks nice. It's interesting. It's full of culture and stuff.
Stuff,
no,
yeah.
Well, I didn't go any...
You happen to bring any stuff back with you?
No, no.
You've seen Midnight Express, exactly. We better catch up with some of these people here, because otherwise I'll sit here and talk to you all night. God knows I wouldn't like to do that. Here's one in Bath. Hello.
Hi, Nick.
How's it going?
Oh, pretty cool, thanks. Could you ask Kev if Kevzuki got let off the leash at all? In his...
maybe.
Ooh, really?
Well, it's none of your business. I don't ask you about your personal life, do I, Reggie?
Well, I don't have one.
Well, see, there we are.
There you go.
Why do you think I keep phoning, damn
you
it?
You could be cosmic twins.
Yeah. I like the new Carol samples. They're good, they are.
They are good.
Particularly the Baretti No. She sounds like she really means yes, doesn't she?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, spot on. But, no.
You've got such a high-pitched girly giggle. Has anybody mentioned that?
Hang on. I better release the, hang on.
Less it's than the... undeniable.
Girly.
All right, then, how about... Any better? There's the cramp, the clamps are kind of too tight.
Really?
Yeah. But no, I don't know why this didn't occur to me earlier, but separated at birth, Kilgore, out of Apocalypse Now, and Mr. Buzzcut, out of Beavis and Butthead.
Where is my Apocalypse Now page? It's disappeared from view.
It was there a minute ago.
I know it was.
Very bizarre.
This would have been a perfect radio moment because we have chopped up bits for your oral delectation, except Kev's lost them.
And excuse me, I haven't lost them.
You have lost them. 10 minutes into the job, you've been away for 3 weeks, and already you screw it up.
Useless,
great gonk.
Oh, come on, let's be honest about this. You were the one pressing the buttons. I haven't pressed any buttons there. I'm very relaxed. I'm very mellow. I'm happy to be back, you know.
Well, you're too mellow and too relaxed. Get my page back, or I'll kill you.
Almost be Canadian.
Yeah, you can't. Can't mislay that. Goodness sakes, it's far too important. It makes the day of sad no loss like me.
You're giggling again.
Gotta
go.
Oh right. Okay.
Bye bye. 0500 1053 89. Let's are you going to manage to do this or what?
Yeah. Keep talking. It'll just take me a couple of minutes while the computer catches up with you.
A couple of minutes. I thought that was the whole point of computers, that they were fast and with it, and you know.
Well, yeah, that's the theory.
I see the little pointer going around all these many and various different icons on the screen, and you just admit it, Kev. You've got the faintest idea what you're doing.
No, I know. I actually do know what I'm trying to find. Let me think about this. It's somewhere about
one of those icons. I find rather offensive, actually. There seems to be a person falling from an airliner. What's that? Like, there's a key icon, which is presumably some sort of security device. There's a faders for volume. There's one a question mark, which probably means help. And then there's a picture of a man falling from an aeroplane. What's that?
It's a man holding, falling from an aeroplane.
Is that the exit? Okay, are we back with it now?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay, so we're only about sort of 3 or 4 minutes late for this effect. And that is the key to this program, is timing. But remember, at all times...
Charlie, don't surf!
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call 0500 1053 89.
Ah, bonsoir, sir. Welcome to the finest and most expensive restaurant in Morocco. Can I take your order, s'il vous plaît?
Ah, thank you, my good man. I'd like the couscous, the salad, several whole cows, and 8 buckets of ice cream, if I may.
Ah, excuse me, sir, and pardon my asking, but are you the legendary Kev Zilla from the Nick Abbott radio program?
Yes, that's me. I do try and keep a low profile, but you got me.
You know, there's something I've always wanted to say to you.
No doubt, in praise of my godlike genius. Go on.
Your mother is so fat that when she sweats, she makes gravy.
Hang on.
Your mother is so stupid, she got stabbed in a shootout.
I really don't...
And your mother is so old, she remembers when Burger King was still a prince.
Good grief.
There's just one more thing.
Oh, go on then.
You useless great gonk.
What? I said.
What? 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 What?
What? How long did it take you to put that little piece of audio genius together?
Well, that was actually recorded live on location in Morocco.
You liar.
Couldn't you tell by the accent of that waiter? He kept wavering.
He was very good. That's one of those Parisian Moroccan people.
Well,
of course, there are a lot of Moroccans in Paris.
Well, most Moroccans speak French anyway. So,
they do?
Yeah. Or some, well, French and Arabic.
Oh, they give good French? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I do. Yeah.
Naturally. And good Moroccan as well, probably.
Well...
Because that, after all, is their mother tongue.
Well.
So, you went to Morocco for 3 weeks?
No, I didn't. I went for 2 weeks and 2 days, but there was a bank holiday, so it appears more like 2.5 weeks.
You get bank holidays?
Well, I suppose I wouldn't have done actually with this show, would I? But, yeah, kind of.
And you went to what was it, like an all-in package thing, or did you make it up as you went along, or what? Tell us about your holiday.
Well, we made it up as we went along.
We?
We.
Who we? You went with someone?
No, see, you just stop that right there.
Who'd you go with?
A young lady friend of my acquaintance.
Oh, really? I see.
Yeah.
Who?
My girlfriend.
You don't know any women.
I do.
You liar. Who did you go with?
My girlfriend.
And how much did she cost for 3 weeks?
Oh, no, see, you're just being bad now.
Me?
Yes, you. She's going to be so mad. She listens.
She is mad. Must be.
Well, yeah.
Go abroad with your ass.
Well, exactly.
So, did she do the Dance of the Seven Veils?
No.
Six veils?
Well, one or two, maybe.
That's right. No point in, hanging around. Let's just get straight to it.
I feel very relaxed.
You do?
Yeah. So anything could happen.
So, you went on holiday with a person who you were pretending was your girlfriend.
If it makes you feel better, yeah.
And you did one of these all-in package deals where you could eat and drink as much as you like? Banned to have done state of you.
No.
I mean, you came back. Here's a bloke who goes on holiday, comes back looking iller than he did when he left.
Oh, now, see, that's not fair. Anna Rayburn said I looked very well.
She
said to me, she said, you look very well. You look very healthy. You've only got one bag under one eye now.
She was comparing you to what?
A summer's day.
Oh, right.
And, we travelled around by ourselves because package tours suck. Unless any are advertising.
Yeah, in which case they're great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we travelled around most of Morocco.
You didn't.
I did.
What's in Morocco?
Everything.
Nothing.
Everything.
What?
What's in Spain?
España, isn't it?
Yeah, what's there?
Art galleries. They got art galleries up the stick.
Well, it's fine if you like art galleries.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, you know, they're okay, but you don't want to go around art galleries all holiday, do you?
Well, you're going to go clubbing? A little bit of art, a little bit of the other.
Well, you see, you can do all that as well, except, of course, it's a Muslim country, which means there's certain restrictions on alcohol.
Yeah.
And that there isn't any.
There isn't any?
Well, there is, actually. You can get some. But you can't, like, there's not a pub on the corner that you can go into.
Booze.
They're usually bars where they're, like, which smell funny when you walk past them.
I've got a drinking problem.
Haven't heard that one before.
I've got tons of booze in my house.
So I'll run to Carol's after the show, then, I think.
She won't be going to a no-Muslim country in a hurry, I don't think.
It's undeniable.
She's been to Morocco, hasn't she?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can't get any drink at all?
You can.
Well, what does that mean?
But it's just, there aren't, like, pubs everywhere. You can buy stuff in licensed restaurants, or some grocery stores will have, like, bottles of wine.
I don't follow. It's against the law, but
you
can buy it.
It's not. It's just, I don't know the actual details, and I don't really want to get into it too much, but I believe that Muslims do not drink.
No.
As far as I'm aware. So,
well, they don't until they, arrive at the Playboy Club in London's fashionable Mayfair, and then they get rat-arsed. That's true. I've seen it.
Well, okay. The opinions of Nick Abbott are...
Not necessarily those of the Taliban militia. So it's okay, it's not, like, verboten. Do women go around dressed from head to toe in the black regalia?
Well, some do. The thing is, it's getting very westernised in certain places like Casablanca.
Kind of look like you'd want to post a letter.
The thing is that there's a lot of westernisation, which means in places like Marrakesh, you'll see, like, them walking around as they would in the rest of, say, the UK.
Are Crosby, Stills and Nash still there?
Yeah, I think we passed them, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you buy? I mean, what's there to buy? Rugs, right?
You can buy lots of carpets.
Yeah.
You can buy rugs.
But rugs presumably cost about the same here as they do there. They're just giving them away. You can go to an auction, buy a rug for nothing at all. A couple of £1,000 is nothing to you and me, Kev. Money means nothing to us.
Well, I know.
Yeah. So what did you buy, specifically?
Well, I was going to buy you a fez.
Yeah. Fez.
Yeah.
If you had done, I would have said,
I deeply regret that.
But unfortunately, you can't buy a fez for love nor money in the markets of Morocco. Can you believe that? I looked around because I was going to get you one. I was going to get Mikey one and the creatures one.
What on earth would I do with a fez?
You'd wear it during the program and you'd like it.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
So what did you get me?
Well, you know, I searched long and hard for the perfect gift for you. You know, as it was your birthday and so on. And I couldn't find one.
A fez?
No, I couldn't find... Well, as I say, if I could find a fez, I would have got you a fez, but I couldn't find any fez.
So you didn't give me anything?
No.
Oh, doesn't work. You got to actually throw it against the wall. I'm going to have to put that on a hotkey, because I can't be carrying around a bright orange beanbag around with me all the time. Nothing at all. You were away 3 weeks and you got me nothing.
But I did get you a birthday present.
Oh, good. Here's one in Camberley.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nick. I've got a top 10 the signs that the Pope is trying to be cool.
Can you post them to us, or fax them to us, or dictate them to us? Because I want to do them.
No, they're good, really.
Well, I'm sure they are, but I don't. You haven't got a drum roll or a resolve or anything like that.
No, not on me.
Okay, have you got access to a fax machine?
No. Shall I give you a couple?
No.
Shall I give you one?
No, we don't do jokes. Send them to us, and I'll read them out in the air. Unless they're crap, I promise. Here is one in Glasgow. Hello.
Hello.
Glasgow. Yes.
Yeah. Hello, Nick. Is that you?
Yeah.
Yes, he's Peter for Glasgow. I'm just on. I just fell out with my girlfriend today, and my friend Liam told me that you were back on the radio. I used to listen to you in Virgin, and I just wondered if you had any tips on how to forget about her, because the best one I can come up with is go out and throw it about a bit.
Throw it about a bit.
Yeah.
Really? Is that the length of it?
Aye.
No, I don't have any tips.
Over you're to Carol.
Over to Carol.
Booze.
There you go.
Booze. Oh, I've been doing that. That's no good. That just makes me worse.
Have you considered television?
That's crap, I know. You've seen it these days.
I tell you what, I saw last night. I couldn't believe it. No, I don't have any help for you at all, but we'll take you off the air and give you the number of a registered counsellor. Or not. I tell you what, I saw last night on TV. I couldn't believe it. I was skimming around the channels late last night and thinking...
I'm just checking the quality.
And it was, you know, precious little of that. And I flip over to Channel 5, which I haven't turned on in a good long while. And I was in shock. How come no one has told me about this? You know what they show on Channel 5 late at night?
No.
They do.
Why, well, no, it can't be that. It couldn't be this racy, could it?
More racy than you could possibly imagine. My jaw was on the floor.
So how long did you watch it for?
Till it finished. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Actual real-life pornography on British television. They were doing it.
Doing what?
It.
It?
Yes.
Don't know what you mean.
It. You know. On Channel 5, late at night, they call it the erotic zone or something like that. And I am stunned that they haven't been advertising that. Or if they have, then I've completely missed it. Occasionally I'll miss complete advertising campaigns because it will be above ground posters. And I never travel above ground. I always go everywhere underground, like a mole, using London's unfashionable underground system. Unfashionable and deeply crap and late all the time and noisy and unreliable and so on and so forth. But, perhaps they have been advertising it, because they should, because that's the thing that's going to get them all the viewers. You know, if all of this stuff about tune to Channel 5 again, because now you... In the London area, a lot of adverts lately says, hey, try us again, because now you can see the picture, as opposed to, you know, looking through snow. But that ain't going to get people to tune back, because where's the reason to tune back? You know, you want some sort of... it's like when Sky bought the football rights, that's a reason to tune in. That's a reason to buy the satellite dish. And when they bought the X-Files and The Simpsons and so on and so forth, there's reasons for people to tune in. Not just that, you know, you can get it in super stereo. That's no reason. and not the picture's going to be super duper clear. That's no reason either. It's like when the digital comes in, they're not going to be saying, hey, go buy another £200 box to stick in front of your TV set, because the picture will be really clear. And people will go, so? No, you've got to tell them that if you buy this stuff, well, there'll be fabulous things that had not previously been available to you. And Channel 5, late at night, last night, I couldn't believe it. The rudest, without doubt, the rudest thing I have ever seen on TV in this country. I'm just trying to think if I've ever seen anything ruder when I was in Luxembourg, because they've got all the French and the German channels over there, and I don't think I did. It was staggeringly rude. I couldn't possibly describe it at this time. I'm thinking about it. I have a vivid mental image. Have you seen any of this?
No, I don't tend to watch terrestrial TV at that time. And what sort of time was it on?
About sort of 11:30. I bet it's on tonight. So give me the TV guide.
For all you 14-year-olds who are looking for something to do a little later.
I tell you what, as soon as I saw it, it occurred to me that teenagers up and down the land are probably well clued into this, right? Because that'll be the number one topic of discussion in the school playgrounds, is that Channel 5 are showing actual, real-life, panting pornography late at night. Incredible.
It's not hard stuff, though, is it?
Absolutely.
It couldn't be.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it isn't, because that would be against the law in this country.
Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean by hard stuff?
Well, you know. You know what I mean.
What? Oh, you're going to draw me a diagram later?
Well, they can't show hard stuff.
Excuse me?
Well, interpret that any way you want to.
It was pretty racy, I'm telling you right now. They were naked. And it wasn't no... The quality was good. I mean, it wasn't sort of Super 8. But, they were undressed and breathless. But it wasn't as though it was sort of done as part of a Hollywood movie. You didn't pan away and up to the sky. None of that. Full on. At it. It was incredible. I just couldn't believe what I was looking at. I couldn't believe on many and various different ways. First of all, I couldn't believe that nobody told me about it. Second, I couldn't believe that they can actually do it without the regulators, the tops of the regulators' heads blowing off. Thirdly, I couldn't believe that the Daily Mail and Mary Whitehouse hadn't got in on the act and said it was disgusting and should be off the air. And fourthly, I couldn't believe that Channel 5 aren't actually advertising this, because if there's anything that's going to get people to watch that channel, it's that. I mean, if you ain't got football, then you need sex. Sex will sell more than football. Absolutely. If we didn't have such screwed up laws about this kind of thing, if Channel 5 went all porno 24 hours a day, they'd be the most watched channel in this country. Absolutely. No question about it. They'd make more money than God. Do you know they would?
Yeah, but I think they might have some trouble with the various people that regulate such things, wouldn't they?
Well, that's exactly what I said. If they could.
Yeah, well, they can't, so... Oh, dear.
I have a bottle of fizzy water, which I just opened, and it's spurted out of the top all over me.
Oh.
How appropriate.
Why?
Well, we're talking about the very fizzy and alive subject. So I'm just stunned. It's probably on tonight. They call it the erotic zone, and it absolutely is. Teenagers all over the country will know about this, and they'll be sitting in their front room, and the time will be ticking away till 11:45 or whenever it was, yearning for their parents to go to sleep. Because that's what parents do, right? You know, bong comes the 10 o'clock news, and your dad's passed out, right? And your mum sort of potters around. And if you know that there's something saucy coming on, because nothing that saucy was ever on TV when I was a kid. Absolutely not. Forget about it. But I have a vivid image in my mind of trying to control their parents by thought. and, you know, bursting a blood vessel that they're trying to, if they'll think they concentrate hard enough, they'll get their parents to go to sleep now, because the program's coming on. It'll be the high point of their day. They do the homework and, you know, play football and go out and muck about and all that sort of stuff. Be home for Channel 5 at 11:45 or whatever it is. And that it is happening in this country astonished me. I could not believe it. So, Peter, if you're still there...
Uh-huh.
That's something to get your mind off it. Channel 5 tonight at 11:45, the erotic zone.
Yeah, Hotlines, watch out.
See, there you go. How come you didn't tell me about that before?
Didn't ask.
I didn't ask. No, I didn't know. Who would know to ask? I mean, that's not a question you normally think would be a sensible question in this country. Which terrestrial channel shows porno? The answer would be none. But they're doing it. And that's the operative phrase, too. They are doing it at night on Channel 5. I am in shock. So we're finishing at 9, which gives me a good long while to get a couple of drinks in, and I'll be home, as long as I can, you know, stay up long enough. I mean, stay awake long enough. Here's a call. So as soon as, you know, anything develops, Peter?
Yeah.
Then you call me straight back. If anything, you know, pops comes up, then just let me know, all right?
No problem. 0500.
Yeah, do that. 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Here's one in Cardiff. Hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah, you know, mate, you've been on about, recently, about BBC being short of ideas.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that they are copying your ideas. Because I heard this morning on Radio 5, a little item they had on, End of News, called Gnome News.
Called what?
Gnome. Garden Gnome News. And they did a little item about these garden gnomes committing suicide or something.
Yeah, I read about that.
So, I mean, it's true. I mean, they are pinching ideas. I don't know, you know, from other people and probably yourself. And
I had an idea called Gnome News.
No, I don't mean that. You mean nutty news items, you know what I mean? That type of thing.
That's the thing about me is I'm so nutty.
Yeah.
Okay, cheers, mate. 0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Kev Zuki is back. And what's the word about the, Apocalypse Now page? Doesn't seem to be here.
Well, let's find out for the man with the plan, Sick Boy. What do you mean?
I've just loaded it in. It should be there.
It's not.
At the moment.
No, it's not there.
Oh.
You've broken it, haven't you?
Here's a call in London.
Get me into trouble.
Hello, Len.
Hello, Nick. That was quick. Can you believe that you can dial an ordinary... Well, not. It's not ordinary. A really explicit sex phone line on an ordinary 0181 or 0171 number? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I was absolutely amazed. And BT, they're not interested. Nobody seems to be interested. What happened was, I've got a business and I dialed a wholesaler that I used the other morning, and I got straight through to a sex line. So, Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, it wasn't that. It was worse than that. So I hung up because I thought, oh, God, this is costing me a fortune. I put the phone down. Yesterday morning, I went to this wholesaler and I said to the girl there, girl, you never guess what happened. I rang up the other day and I got a sex line and she just went, oh, yeah, you must have dialed 0171 instead of 0181. And I didn't think any more of it. I was in work today and I phoned somebody and I put the wrong 0181 before the number. And before you finish dialing, you get this message that goes, the number you have dialed has not been recognised.
Yes.
And when I got that, it just rung a bell about what she said. So I thought, no, that can't be right. So I've dug out the number, and I dialed the 0171 instead of the 0181 against the wholesale number, and it went straight through again to this sex line. So I phoned BT, and I said, can you tell me what this is? And it turns out now that they are giving numbers to sex lines, let's say your home phone number, whatever it is,
yeah,
only they'll change your prefix from 0181 to 0171, and I don't know how many there are like this, but if you dial your home number and get the prefix wrong, you're likely to get through to a sex line. And the strange thing is that she checked it and said, no, this is not a premium rate line, this is charged at an ordinary phone call cost. So my question, who is benefiting from this? Because whoever is on the chat line, the sex line, is not making anything. Because you don't make anything if I phone you up. And BT are obviously just making the price of an ordinary phone call. So what is it all about? I mean, if my little boy, if I would have said to him, oh, look, dial gold to the wholesaler for me a minute, if he would have got through, dialed the wrong prefix, he would have thought it was Christmas. And she said to me, she goes,
your little boy is is busy running, helping you run your business?
Right, and she said to me, oh, but there is a warning before. I said, oh, what do you think that's going to put a little kid off? As soon as he hears that, the first time I got through, it went straight into the call, and I got, and this is not too bad, so don't worry, are you hot, are you hard? And today when I phoned up...
Okay, well, I think that we can use our imaginations.
No, all I got today was, if you're under 18, hang up, this is an explicit sex line. And yet, it's on an ordinary phone line.
Of course, every teenage boys up and down the land, of course, will obey that command. If you are under the age of 18, please hang up. This
can
is
you
an
imagine?
This is an explicit phone line.
I mean, the worst thing is, Nick, if you wanted to set one up, I don't know, all you've got to do is phone BT and arrange it, and they couldn't care less what's on it. You know, you could have like a paedophile line there.
Well,
on
Len, I very much doubt that. Let me just say that I very much doubt that. Do I need to say that again?
Yeah, go on.
I think you need to say it now, Kev.
Well, we both very much doubt it. In fact, we believe, Len, you are incorrect, and that is not the case.
Yeah.
Not the case.
At all.
Nope.
That BT would do that.
Well, they wouldn't.
Well, maybe they would.
No, they would. Will you stop doing all my good work here?
Okay, here's one in London. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hi. Are you offended, Nick, by what you saw on the television last night?
Was I offended by it?
Yeah.
I was shocked by it, but no.
Shocked and horrified.
No, I'm not offended by the sight of... good-looking naked adults? Who would be?
No, neither am I, believe me. I lived in Germany for 6 years, and their attitude towards it was quite another thing, believe me. And,
well, there's the German attitude to nakedness, or the European attitude to nakedness generally, is a lot different to that predominance in this country. I mean, just something like, you go to a swimming pool and they have a steam room.
I've got something else to say. I don't want you cutting me off.
All right, go on then.
Now, talk radio.
Well, you're about to change the subject.
Are you aware?
Wait a minute. You're about to change the subject.
Are you aware of your poster, which lays across it's laden throughout the streets of London, of a picture of Lorraine Kelly's rear end? Have you seen it with a barcode on the arse and everything?
Oh, definitely.
Who's that?
Hello.
We got a third person on the line.
That's Lorraine herself.
Really?
Yeah.
How you doing, okay?
I think that's not yours, is it, really?
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've got to, I don't know what to say, really.
Say goodbye.
You've got a fantastic, that poster.
Thank you.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Where were we going to go with that was I offended thing? Damn, I was going to start talking about someone else, Steve, and then you stopped me mid-flow just to go on about Lorraine Kelly's bum. What were we talking about before?
Well
you said, was I
now you're talking about being offended by what you saw last night.
No,
you wasn't offended, sorry. My apologies. I remember now. But it's just the picture of Lorraine's bottom that it doesn't offend me at all.
No. You know? In fact...
It's extraordinary.
Sorry?
She said...
It's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, and I don't believe it's yours.
It's not mine. And that offends me. That you would think that it's mine. 0500 1053 89. Whenever I have a poster with my name above it and a bottom below it, that's always a stunt butt. Please remember that.
Oh, good.
Exactly. 0500 1053 89. Looks like we got Elizabeth from Cheddar on the line, who'll come on and say,
through our penis we knew.
But mostly
penis.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
free call 0500 1053 89.
Alastair Wanklin. Alastair Wanklin. Alastair Wanklin.
Dialogue and negotiation must be...
She'll say, good evening, Nick. Hello, Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Good evening, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. Everybody's all right. Lovely.
Once my love was good enough.
How does the rest of it go?
Through our penis we knew.
She says.
Penis.
We knew.
That's Phoenix, Nick.
It's what?
Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Yeah, I was in a hospital in Phoenix and I was saying, pick me up on your way down Phoenix. No, Phoenix, the hospital, what I was in. I was singing it because I wasn't in there no more, see.
What?
That was Phoenix, the hospital I was in.
Ha, Phoenix, we knew.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
And I was singing because I was happy because I was out with there, see.
Phoenix, oh.
Yeah.
Now I get you.
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to speak about Daniel O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I'm joining Daniel O'Donnell's fan club and I'll see him in Bristol. Daniel O'Donnell.
Who's that?
The Irish country and western singer.
Never heard of him.
He must have heard of him.
Even I've heard of him.
Daniel O'who?
Donald.
Daniel O'Donnell.
Very popular.
He didn't do this one, did he?
Now I go window cleaning.
No. No, that was George Formby, that was, wasn't it? I was going to say, hopefully, you'll be seeing Daniel O'Donnell the end of October sometime. So I seen him in concert about 8 years ago, and I was overweight then, and I lost weight, and I went on my diet. I thought myself, I'd like to be famous like Daniel O'Donnell's and get slim.
Yeah, a fashionable famous person.
Yeah.
He didn't do this one, did he?
No.
Oh, how about this one?
No. I'd like to win a prize tonight if you could do a competition for me. Nick.
A prize?
I'd like to win a prize if you could do a competition and see if I can do a competition and
how
get
about,
it right.
How about singing along with this? E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
E-I-E-I-O.
Daniel O'Donnell, he didn't do this one, did he? Although, come to think of it, a nice cup of tea would just go down well right now.
No, I never sung that one. He sung this one, what's it? He's very popular with singing,
Oh, yeah, that's the thing about,
Daniel
what's
O'Donnell.
His name?
He got a song about Jesus, didn't he?
Oh,
and
I
told him on the radio station last night, Radio Devon.
Radio Devon?
Radio Devon, yeah. And he was like, he was putting a competition. He beat the Beatles in a competition. People were ringing in for Radio Devon. And he beat the Beatles.
He beat the Beatles in what?
In, like, popular, gone popular in the Beatles. For the people ringing in for Radio Devon. Because I got on Radio Devon last night, ringing in for Daniel O'Donnell, like.
You did?
Yeah, and I was singing on air.
Well, in other words, you weren't listening to this station?
No, I always listen to this station, Nick.
But we don't go off the air.
No, you're the popular station in the United Kingdom, isn't you? Best in the world, really.
We are
and I don't like that person what said to you that you're on a DJ. You're a very good DJ, Nick.
Yeah.
Of course you are
except,
a DJ. I'm saying that because they're jealous of you.
Something like who's saying that? Wait a minute, back up. Who's saying that?
Somebody rung up and said that you weren't a DJ and you
were
a DJ.
Who said that, damn it?
Somebody that you were speaking to, weren't you? He said you'd like to be a DJ. They're just saying that because they were jealous of you, Nick. You're a very good DJ.
I remember him vividly, and I'm thinking...
He's as honest as the day is long, and you can trust him.
Yeah, that's right. You're a very good DJ, and you're a comedian. You got talent. You got a career right in front of you. That's right. Nick.
I guess so, yes.
Yeah, you're a very good DJ, though.
Like,
have you ever been on anything else? Like, I don't know
like
if you're on Tolly.
Like that woman on Channel 5 last night. She had her entire career in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Nick, I'll let the next quarter go on. I'll give you a ring again.
Fabulous.
And that was Phoenix. Pick me up, Phoenix, on your way down.
Yeah.
All right, Nick?
Okay, it was Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Elizabeth, as she said.
Once my love was good enough.
through our penis we knew. Then
happiness.
not, you're very good.
Not quite fast enough,
it
but
was very good,
it'll do for jazz. Here's Nikki the Psycho Newsreader.
Hi, Nick.
Now, you are in the Sudan.
I'm actually on the border at the moment. I'm still in Kenya. We fly out at some obscenely early time tomorrow morning. So we're just waiting to go.
So you're... So this is beyond my comprehension. Nikki Cardwell, Nikki, our Psycho Newsreader, has been sent to Sudan for what reason?
I mean, this is quite serious, actually. In South Sudan, they're on the border of... on the edge of, like, a serious major disaster, almost on the scale of 10 years ago. So I'm out here reporting and trying to find out exactly what the parameters are and who's doing what to whom and how bad it really is.
Really? So have you ever heard this?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Is that a familiar sound?
Well, not yet, but apparently when some of the areas we're going out to tomorrow, there's been, like, bombing in recent weeks.
Do you have...
from some of the rebel factions.
Do you have, like, a flak jacket and all that sort of jazz?
Oh, no, it's too hot for that kind of thing.
Really? You go, without protection?
It's very unlikely that we will be put in that kind of position, but I did an interview this afternoon with the guy that heads the security operation here for the blanket organization that covers all the relief agencies, and he's former SAS, and his sort of job is to make sure that everybody, all the aid workers, are safe, and that if something happens, he can get them out extremely quickly, and he's in contact with all the, you know, all the rebel leaders over there at the moment, so he wouldn't be letting us go in if there was any danger of that sort of thing happening.
Wow. And is there like a big press pack there?
No, there's just two of us. There's myself at the moment and John Vidal from The Guardian.
Okay, so I'm imagining that you don't actually go in there and see what it's like. You're kind of like Hunter S. Thompson. I'm imagining you sitting by the pool with your feet up, smoking one of those Sudanese cigars with some scantily dressed person of your choice bringing you cocktails by the pool. You're faxing your copy in after staying up all night and carousing with your American compadres.
Nick, you know me much better than that. I don't drink, I don't abuse anybody, you know. I'm a good, hard-working girl. With a husband back home who'd be devastated if I behaved like that.
Oh, but you're out of the country. What difference does it make? He'll never know.
He might be listening.
Oh, yeah, like he listens.
Anyway, actually, I'm sitting on a chair at the moment in the middle of a clearing surrounded by huts, so no swimming pool, I'm afraid. And the loo is just a hole in the ground with a little box over the top of it.
Oh, really?
So no luxuries. And the worst thing is that, like, earlier on there were frogs in there. I know that's quite bizarre, but there were.
Really? And you can't remember eating them?
No, we'd already had lunch. I wasn't hungry.
Okay. So what do you eat in the Sudan?
Well, apparently there's going to be lots of rice and peas and things like that.
You're in Jamaica?
So, No, but I wish I was. No, I have very little conception of what I'm going into apart from what everybody else gets from the television. So, if I don't eat for a couple of days, it won't hurt me, really. It might hurt them, but it won't hurt me.
And when are you coming back?
I should be back. I will be back in the office next Thursday, so a week today. We're actually out in the field. I won't be in contact with anybody for about 4 days now, so you're probably the last person I'm speaking to back at home as such before we disappear off the face of the earth for a while.
And are you flying Air Sudan?
Oh, absolutely, of course we are. Uncle Bill's promised he's going to be nice for the next week or so we thought we're safe. Actually, no, we're not. We're flying with a very reputable firm that I'm not going to plug on air.
Of course not. Did they upgrade you?
No, they didn't give us free tickets, so no way I will.
Screw them, then. Okay, so you're going to be back next...
Are you missing me?
You're going to be back next week. Is there anything that's indigenous to the local area that would look great on my mantelpiece?
Well, what do you want? I'm sitting in front of a couple of trees. There's some really thorny bushes that I've managed to rip my hair and my arms on this afternoon. I might try and catch you a frog if you want.
No, don't.
I'm not sure if I can get it back alive.
Don't the locals make something that would, you know, cost a fortune over here that you can bring me back for nothing, Hapley?
Yeah, we were driving around Nairobi yesterday, and we went past this roundabout, because there's no, the roads have sort of got dirt tracks on either side, and in the middle of this sort of roundabout, which is just sort of a mound in the middle, they had the most fantastic carved wooden things, and they were up to, like, sort of life-size reproductions of hippopotamuses and warthogs and things like that, so I'm bringing one of those back if you want.
Well, that sounds really repulsive, actually.
I know, but I'm sure you'd like one, even if you just leave it in the office to hang your coat on or something.
Okay, well, bring me back a wooden cow to remind me of you.
Oh, that was very nice.
I couldn't help it. And remember, without a flak jacket, remember to duck every time you hear this sound. Best of luck, Nikki. Bye-bye. I love that the delay, by the way, when you start talking over each other, because
satellite.
Yeah. Was that actually a satellite phone?
I think it must have been.
Hey, Nikki, leave the phone off the hook.
Hello?
Just leave the phone off the hook. Just leave it off the hook and walk away.
I wish I could. Over here, they use the signals to divert missiles and things, so I'm not really allowed to do that.
They do?
Mm.
Okay.
It was good of Nikki.
Sorry, boy.
Nikki, it was really good of you to phone up with such a serious subject in the middle of this freeform comedy program.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. That was Nikki Cardwell talking from the middle of the jungle in Sudan. Of course, all of Sudan is completely covered by jungle. Not a lot of people know that. And there's loads of cows in it. Not a lot of people know that either. Did you know that, Ken?
No.
Not a lot of people know that you are only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I said that. 0500 1050 389. It's a free call.
Dig out.
You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
Here's one in London, hello.
Oh, is that Nick Abbott, Cross Media Mogul?
Sounds like me, yeah.
Yeah. So how come you get your face in the papers so much?
My face in the papers so much?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, you were very famous in London this week.
Oh, that.
Oh, dear.
I hardly think that having your something that looks approximately like you in the very back page of an infrequently read magazine is cause for thinking I'm famous.
Well, I was going to say, whose stunt butt did that?
That is a picture of my stunt butt, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's very handsome.
It looks like he's had his face planted in a bucket of makeup, doesn't he?
Well, he looks a bit startled.
Well, yeah, so would you be if you were sitting on an upturned chair, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They're very nice to you, then. I noticed something disturbing on the same page, actually.
What's that?
Well, there's porn on the radio, it seems.
On the radio?
Have you got your copy in front of you of this said magazine?
We're talking about Time Out.
We are.
Let me get one, because I bought one today for the first time.
Just because you're in it.
Of course.
Do you want the page number?
It's right at the back.
Yeah, it's 198.
Oh, blimey, we're running out of time. 198, yeah, I got it. Where's the porn?
Now, in the column next to your other station to the left.
Yes?
Yeah. Go down to Saturday.
Saturday.
2 a.m. Just Stryker, American porn star.
Well, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
Well, maybe.
It's getting everywhere.
I guess so, yeah.
And why do you love London Town, then?
I don't know. I guess it's because I'm a Londoner, and it's a London thing, isn't it?
You didn't have a cue, though.
So we'll be back. I've got to go, mate. 0500 1050 389. Real life country song titles. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
Talk Radio. Your views, your calls, your commercial radio station of the year. On 1053 and 1089 AM.
I love this audience. I want to embrace them all. Each and every one of you. Individually, if you insist, or we could all embrace each other in a circle.
You telephone a moronic DJ to talk about moronicism, what do you get?
Oh, he's going to stroke his cat. Stop sniffing.
I thought I could handle it, but now I've got the habit.
Are you still there, Hazel?
Yes, I am.
Go away!
Heidi, hi. I've been on hold since yesterday.
Have you?
Yes.
Hold this. Nothing that's cold and intimidating about me. Warm. That's what pours out from me, isn't it?
You obviously enjoy your job. You obviously get peanuts because you just don't stop moaning.
The year 2000, a new year. I mean, people are already planning for that. Where would you like to be?
You know that international dateline is.
Oh, you're going to sit at home calling dateline?
Yes.
How are you said?
You tend to attract a lot of weirdos.
Yeah.
Makes you want to go...
Nick Abbott.
Ball section, it's unbelievable. It's just too city.
Wow, wow. So we're back again as a warm and comfortable little team, innit? Kev is back and Sig Boy's on the phones. And Russ is in the kitchen.
Yeah, what's Russ doing in the kitchen?
Making tea.
Didn't ask me, he just asked me if he wanted water. He didn't say, do you want any tea?
Shut
up. I know I don't usually drink tea, during the program at least.
Here's one in Newcastle, hello.
Hello?
David.
Nick, yeah. How do you have at your command, Nick, all the appropriate sounds to suit the occasion? No, wait a minute. If the talk is about the country, you have instantly a country sound. Seaside, the caller mentions, you have... instant seaside music. No matter what the occasion is, as much as the conversation goes, you instantly produce the appropriate sound. What on earth system have you got, please?
Can you join in on the tiddly on pom-poms? What kind of a system do we have? It's a generally screwed up system.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, how is it that as soon as somebody talks about the country, you seem to press a convenient button and the sound, country sound, comes on.
Well, like a country like Spain, you mean?
No, to cover such a wide topic, you must have a sound system the size of a football field filled with the appropriate buttons, because you don't know just what the conversation is going to be or what it's going to lead to or what button you've got to press to bring the appropriate sound.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello. Sorry, I thought I'd lost you.
I thought I'd lost you. I thought you'd passed out.
Oh, no.
From shock.
No, really, I'm interested to know as to what, you know, what size that system is that you have such... that you can produce the sounds at a mere instant, of a second, where you just press and you get the appropriate sound for the appropriate conversation that's going on. It seems amazing to me.
No.
Well, I was telling Carol just yesterday. I said it's a big one, Carol.
It's undeniable.
That's what she said, and then she came in for a closer look and said,
"I'm just checking the quality."
Oh my goodness! And I'm not going to get the answer I require, am I?
And she looked away, and she just couldn't believe it. She said,
"No,
exactly."
Do tell. What kind of a system have you got?
I said you'll have to measure this system with a yardstick.
Yeah, exactly.
Went home and told one of her friends, she said...
Can you believe that, though?
No. Incredible, isn't it? And she doesn't have a drinking problem.
I've got a drinking problem.
Well, maybe she does, the little one, yeah. It's very, very big indeed. It's huge. It's enormous. People look at it and say,
holy poop on a stick.
If you've got a huge system of buttons by which you can press to produce the appropriate sound, instantly a seaside a caller mentions the seaside. A split second later, you produce the seaside music.
Yeah.
So therefore, when you look at that maze of buttons that must confront you, you have a split second to press the appropriate button.
It's no joke, children. This is big.
Huge.
So you're just going to leave it at that. It's huge in front
people
of you.
People take one look at my instrument and say,
son of a bitch.
But thanks for asking, David.
Okay, Nick. Thanks very much.
I've noted your query. 0500-1053-89. It's a free call. Here is one in Clonakilty. How do you pronounce that? Clonakilty. Lawrence. Lawrence has died during that previous call. We better go away and come back again. I do have some country song titles. I'm going to get through all of these. If I say some of these twice, forgive me. I can't remember what I said last night. I didn't cross them off. I think I said my everyday silver is plastic. Well, I quite like that one. That's something you have to think about. My everyday silver, Kev, is plastic. How about... I've got hair oil on my ears and my glasses are slipping down, but baby, I can see through you. Or, my wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him.
Anorax, email Nick now.
nabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
Nick, I have a question.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of changes around here since I've been away, obviously. Like,
right.
The computer system is now bigger. Seems to have about 20 screens all across one wall.
Can you believe that, though?
No, I can't. But the biggest problem is that it doesn't quite seem to work properly yet.
It's undeniable.
Well, you see, I don't think I was denying it. Are you having any difficulty in there, or has there been any difficulty, or is it just me?
I don't think I've pulled it off yet.
Ah. I'd heard that about him.
I think that was the name of the program that I was watching on Channel 5 last night.
I don't think I've pulled it off yet.
Was it made by Canadians?
I have no idea. Do they have their own special way?
I'm so annoying. I'm so annoying. I'm so annoying. Yeah, who's that?
That's you. Because you're so annoying.
It's not my fault.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Here's a call in a phone box in Glasgow.
Hey there, Nick. How you doing, Paul?
All right.
Hi, my point's something about like the stuff you're talking about earlier about the programmes in Channel 5.
Yeah.
It takes, why is Britain so hung up about sex in this country? You know, it's like, I think I've got an idea about it. Because at school, all you learn about in sex education is about the reproduction organs of a broad bean. Now, what use is that to, like,
broad
the
bean?
Kind of person?
Of a broad bean?
That is all I learned about, you know, through...
You're joking.
Like, primary school, we learned absolutely nothing. And then, I think, second year, we were, like, divided into two classes. The girls went and saw their program of a video, kind of, women giving birth.
Yeah.
And the boys, all we learned was, like...
Don't.
A chapter of a book, a biology book, about the reproduction organs of a broad bean. Now, what is, you know, how is, like, teenage boys going to relate that to, you know, what their hormones are doing rushing about their bodies at that time?
There still seems to be this real fear to acknowledge the sexuality of younger people in this country. I mean, statistics prove that most people in this country have sex earlier than the actual legal age at which they're supposed to have it. You know, most people lose their virginity before they're 16. I mean, those are just the facts, like it or don't.
Exactly.
And but nobody who's reached adulthood actually wants to admit it. And the older you get, the less you want to admit it. You'd rather people were 35 years old before they even had salacious thoughts. And so the notion also goes that if we don't tell the kids about sex, then they won't have it.
Exactly.
Which is completely wrong. And anybody who's got half a brain knows this, because you look at somewhere like Holland, where the age of consent is, I believe, 14. And sex education is, widely and freely dispensed in school, and the whole attitude to sex is much more grown up than it is over here. And people, bizarre as it might seem, have sex later in Holland than they do here. And that's because we're told don't. And if there's one thing that kids do with gusto, it's things that they're told not to do. Obviously.
A few weeks back, I was listening to another national kind of phone-in program in the morning, and there was this woman, they were talking about sex education, and this woman was saying, like, if we teach kids all these things when they're 14, the minute they learn about them, they're all going to go out and do it. And, that's totally against the point. You know, if you teach these kids these things, they'll learn about it, and they'll realise, they'll weigh up the options about doing it or not doing it. They're not all going to rush out and suddenly experiment and all these new things they learn.
Of course. You have to treat younger people like, human beings, like individuals with thoughts of their own. You can't just program them like robots to say, you can't just go up to them and say, don't do this and don't do that, and, furthermore, don't smoke and don't take drugs and don't do this. And it's like we virtually give kids a list of things they're not supposed to do, all of which seem incredibly inviting, because at that age, all you are really programmed to do is to separate yourself from your elders, because by doing that, it's like leaving the nest. You know, if you stay in the nest all the time, then your genes will not spread themselves about. So every part of you wants to distance yourself from your elders. That's what being an obnoxious teenager and going upstairs and wearing black clothes and playing, death metal music. That's what it's all about. It's like get as far away mentally from your parents as you possibly can, because by doing that, you will stand on your own two feet and, have a greater chance of passing your genes on. We're mentally programmed to do this. And so any authority telling kids don't is going to make them do it, obviously.
I know, it's like the Mary White House Brigade, like the minute they see something like, not even dirty, but just like a naked woman on television, they phone up to the BBC and they complain about it, and they say, oh, it's disgraceful, you're going to corrupt the young kids, you're going to, do all this. And
well, that's like, fine, they should have the right to do that. What I find amazing is that we're still paying attention
to
these people. Incredible, ain't it? All right, thanks very much, Graham.
Cheers, Nick.
0500 1053 89. As soon as Mary Whitehouse stays up long enough to see Channel 5 late at night, she's going to absolutely pass out. She's going to be fallen down and she can't get up. She'll be reaching for that clicky button that people of her age have. She'll be going up in the little stair chair up to where the emergency button is in the bathroom.
Do you know how slow those things are?
How slow?
No, like, very slow.
Really?
I think this is faster, actually.
It is? Do you have to buy a ticket? Wouldn't that be great if you had to buy a ticket for one of those things, but you couldn't buy it by your credit card, you actually have to go down to the manufacturer and buy it, just to get in the little chair that takes you upstairs? That wouldn't be funny at all. What are you talking about, man?
So
it'd be awful.
What's the deal with your head, anyway? I missed this. I just know that you've had it zapped with a laser or something, and you're not well, and you're near death.
I know. I went into the doctor's, and he said, I have to have a biopsy. That's what I said.
That sounds quite serious.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Why? Because I have a rash on my forehead that just won't go away. And the thing with the dermatology department, or derma holiday, as they call it in the medical, they do, in medical circles, is they've only got one thing. We'll treat whatever it is with, what do they call it? A steroid cream.
Mm.
Or not. And that's it.
Would you grow big muscles in your head then?
That's all they've got. And if one steroid cream doesn't work, well, that's okay, because we've got a list of 100 of these things, and they just give you another one every 6 weeks. And if it doesn't work, then we don't know, is what their answer is. And so that's when they take a biopsy.
You're not nervous about this at all, then, no?
I was, yeah, because it's on my face. Actual surgery on my face. And, it's kind of clearing up a bit now. It sort of looks as though I've been shot in the head.
It does. I can't think who'd want to do that to
you. Of course not. But it will undoubtedly get better, or not.
Well, here's hope.
As the case may be. And you're thinking...
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Appreciate the thought.
Well, you know, I was just asking. I'm sure everyone else knows about it. I just had heard a couple of things and hadn't really been brought up to speed on the situation with your heat. Hey! Heat!
Here's one in Gatwick. Hello. Gatwick. Gatwick. Too late. Go back to mobile in Kent. Hello.
Hello, Nick.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
All right, thanks.
I had to laugh when you were saying about your head.
Oh, that makes you amused?
I had a similar thing a few years ago at a car crash night. They gave me steroid injections.
Injections?
Yeah, they sort of injected an anabolic steroid into scar tissue.
Oh, to help it heal?
Yeah, but they didn't tell me about the side effects.
Which are?
I've put on 2 stone in weight.
Really?
I've gone for, yeah, I went from 13 stone to 15 stone. Thank you very much. So I'm just hoping your head doesn't bloat, mate.
Yes.
Just quickly going back to what you were talking about the sex education thing.
Yeah.
Going back to when I was at school, there wasn't really any sex education at all. And I mean, I'm only 22, so I'm not going back that far back.
Really? I thought that we'd, you know, every now and again this topic will come up, and usually it's people saying, oh, well, we can't tell the kids anything at all, because then they won't even think about sex, and they won't be having sex until they're all safely married, because that's the kind of country that we want. And people with, you know, half a brain will say, well, wait a minute, we are actually teaching... Every single child that goes through school will know exactly the mechanics of it, and then they sort of tack on this moral thing afterwards, which is basically the part where they say, don't do it.
I think that's the problem. I mean, you are taught it as a mechanical thing. You're taught this goes here and this
goes
there.
But you just said that you weren't taught anything.
Well, we were told, you know, you were told obviously the obvious things, what your weapons do, etc., but that was as far as it goes. You weren't sort of talk about the implications of it or how it perhaps affects people.
I'm a little concerned about that. You're taught to use weapons? Really?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
I had no idea. Of what kind of school do you go to?
Yeah, very dodgy one by the sound of it. But I mean, it's just, I mean, you're not taught about the implications. I mean, going back to when I was 15, 16, yeah, it fascinated me. Because
of course. It's the only thing you can think about at that age.
Of course, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, GCSEs go by the by when it comes to women at that age, or girls at that age. But
that's,
I mean,
because we're programmed to think that way.
Well, because we're told not to. It's the same as smoking.
Well, no, it's just a biological programming for people of that age, because that's when you're most fertile, so your biological program to spread the genes and the, you know, carry on the species and the survival of the self and all that sort of thing, it's beyond your control. it is beyond your control. It's, you know, it's way back further than history goes, because basically we are animals. It's just an animal thing. It's survival of the species. It's the most forceful instinct that we have.
So, I mean, what do you think should happen then?
I think that we should take a leaf out of other countries' books, like Scandinavia, which have fewer teenage pregnancies. Right. Teenagers have sex later than they do in this country, and they're just generally less screwed up about sex. I mean, we are notorious the world over for being the kinky capital of the world. And that's because we're all really screwed up about it, you know. PVC thigh-high leather boots sell more probably in this country than in any country on the planet. That's because we're all mad about it here, because we've been told our whole lives, don't, it's disgusting, don't, you know, be ashamed, and all this rubbish. If we just sort of act like adults about it, and it goes all the way through our culture, you know. What's British comedy? Toilet humour, laughing about sex, sniggering, like Benny Hill, you know, the Carry-Ons, all of that, which I love. But it's all sort of childish notions about sex. If you look at the Carry On movie, Kenneth Williams and Hattie Jakes, that kind of the thing that they've got going,
right.
It, you could substitute 2 5-year-olds, and they're playing doctors, and that's the dynamics of that relationship. It's all 5-year-olds. which is kind of where we're stuck. And, you know, the newspapers that we have and the magazines that we are putting out, like Loaded and all this sort of stuff, it's all, like, real pre-pubertal notions of sex that we still cling to in this country. This kind of, like, we're just so childish about it. And we're never going to achieve the comfort that other countries have with the subject.
Do you think we'll ever get there, or...?
It's hard to believe that we will, but then if you told me sort of 10 or 15 years ago that we would have something approaching a cafe culture in some of our major cities, I wouldn't have believed you either. But, you know, we walk around London and Manchester and perhaps where you are, and there's people sitting out on the pavement all the time. Lorries are thundering by, so but at least we're outside. Yeah.
All right, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Well, have a nice evening.
Cheers.
Pleasure talking to you.
0500 1050 389. It's a free call. Actual real-life country song titles. When you leave me, walk out backwards. So I think you're walking in.
Nick Abbott.
You have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
The new Talk Radio Breakfast Reaction Line.
Hello, this is Elizabeth from Worthing. I would like to take issue with Nick Abbott regarding slaughterhouses.
What?
Nick, there is nothing funny about slaughterhouses if you are there to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
Please have a little respect for the innocent animals who suffer pain and terror there in their millions. They are bloody and terrible places.
No.
Unnecessary suffering for unnecessary products.
Elizabeth, we couldn't pick out the Nick Abbott show in America, unfortunately, so we have no idea what he said. I'm dying to know what he said about slaughterhouses,
yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
What?
What was she talking about? I made a joke about slaughterhouses?
Well, that was...
I don't remember that.
That was from Monday's Breakfast Show with Bill Overton and Claire Catford.
Yeah.
And, it was on the reaction line, which is when you give your opinions on what you've heard in the news or whatever.
No, generally, if it's about me, it's usually giving a reaction about something I never said.
Well,
you know, I wish to complain about something that was on the 10 o'clock news last night, and Nick Abbott said it.
It must have been something that you said on the Friday.
I did not say that at all.
Nothing about slaughterhouses at all.
Not me, neither Carol nor I said anything about slaughterhouses.
Well, we do, don't we, Nickers?
It was
no,
Mike
we don't.
Then. It was Mike then, wasn't it?
It was Mike, probably. Probably.
Well, some Canadians.
Oh, Mike Hansen.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mike Allen.
Tinky Winky, Dipsy, La La or Pooh.
No, no. Mikey. He wanted me to have a go at him tonight. He said, oh, go on, have a go at me.
Have a go at you?
Yeah, I think he feels that perhaps he was a little nasty to me in my absence, blaming everything on me. And, you know, I'm used to you blaming everything on me anyway, when it's my fault or not. So I said, yeah, I'm not that bothered. And I think he wanted me to have a real pop at him.
He did a good job. We did an okay job. I think we had a conversation about it at the end, and we thought...
I don't think I've pulled it off yet.
Not quite. Almost. Almost there. Let's have one in... Oh, there's another mobile. Blimey, they're everywhere. Here's one in Gatwick. Hello.
Hi, Nate. How are you?
All right.
Good. It's just back to this old sex education thing, right? And what I was thinking was, obviously, there's the problems of the moral aspect to it, but I think just as important is the actual physical part. How to make love to a beautiful woman.
You're beginning to sound like Chef from South Park.
What's that?
You're beginning to sound like the character Chef from South Park.
Love to a beautiful woman.
Exactly.
Well, he's good, though, isn't he? He obviously knows how to do it. But he said, until I was about 15, I didn't even know what a clitoris was. I thought it was a flower.
Well, I'm never sending you to Interflora. 0500 1050 389. It's a free call. Here is one in... Oh, blimey, Rabzon. Should we have him now? It would be like a... He's only been waiting... Oh, he's been waiting 20 minutes. Good grief. Is this actual Rab?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. Is this Rab's wife?
No.
Who is this?
It is... Is this the Indians? Can I order a meal, please?
I'll put you on hold, he said, dumping he, him, her, it. Here's one in Richmond. Hello.
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 I'm a Joe now.
You say sounds like you.
Am I talking to Nick?
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Been trying to get through to you for some nights now. About your skin problem.
Yeah.
I feel very sorry for you because I've suffered similar just recently. My face, I had a really bad cold, and then all of a sudden the face started flaking off. It was like a burn from the inside.
Oh,
and
really?
It's been on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Been to the doctors, giving me cream after cream. And finally I went to a homeopath, and he thinks it might... Do you wear glasses?
No.
Do you have a fringe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this homeopath thought it was the wool that I work with causing a vortex around my glasses and causing an allergy on my skin.
Causing a vortex?
Well, round my glasses, sort of swirling round and going on my skin. And I've stopped wearing my glasses for a week and it's disappearing.
Wow.
So I just wondered if you wore glasses. And also the fringe on my face, I've had to push it back because that was affecting me as well.
Well, it usually is around about where my fringe is. But I think, well, my reading of it is stress.
Oh, yeah. Well, my doctor wouldn't admit to that. I said, could it be stress? You know, it wouldn't. But,
well, there's nothing a doctor can do. They can't prescribe pills for stress, can they? Or can they?
No, I don't know. Another thing, do you dye your hair?
No.
You don't put a colour on your hair at all?
No.
Because that can come out on your skin.
I'm sure.
Because I once went for highlights, and it was really itchy at the time, and I said, oh, it's hurting me, can you take it off? I said, oh, it'll only be on for another few minutes. And it was really, really bad. I was wringing my hands. And when I got home that morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, my bottom light was on fire.
Your bottom?
My bottom was like...
Where were you having these highlights put, dear?
On my head.
Oh, your head.
But at 2 o'clock in the morning, my bottom was on fire.
What, did it drip through your... Is it
I
like...
I rang my husband up and I said, hey, I'm going to look at this. He stuck my bottom with his face back 2 o'clock in the morning.
You're going hypersonic, Andrea. Calm down.
It was like wheels on my bottom. Like... enlarged orange peel.
Unbelievable. That is disgusting, Andrea.
It was a thing that had on my head that come right through my skin.
So well, it dripped all the way through your body?
Yeah.
No way. Was it like alien? Is it like alien? Wait a minute. Good grief. I can't get a word in edgeways with you, Andrew. You're getting so excited, dear. Calm down. Take a breath.
I just wanted to ring and help you, that's all, because...
Talk about stressed out. Have a pill, dear.
No! I'm not stressed out. I'm just trying to help you because...
Wound up like an alarm clock.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help you, that's all.
So this stuff that they put on your head, it sounds like alien blood. It dripped
all... I don't know what it was, but
all the way through
affected me that evening, so it must have been that.
I guess so.
Anyway, I'll go now.
Oh.
Just thought I'd help you. I'll
Fabulous.
Try to.
Thanks, Andrea.
Okay.
Bye-bye. What a nice lady. Piercing. Here's one in Solihull. Hello.
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 Right. You know, earlier on in the week, you were talking about sweets that you liked.
Yeah.
What were they called? Because I've been looking, you know, because you said there were green and the chocolate in the middle. So I was going to send you some.
Oh, well, I'd have to throw them straight in the bin. I don't okay. eat any food that's actually sent to me, because that would be daft. Oh. No, they were, I can remember they used to stick them by the checkout, which is, you know, really mean of them, because you're standing at the checkout, what you're going to do is just impulse buy. Yeah. There used to be minty, sugary, crunchy things on the outside, and a chocolate-like product in the centre.
Yeah. All right. You know, you're talking about your skin, like your problems on your forehead.
Yeah.
I've got it on my hands, and the only thing that helped on my hands was lip salve.
Lip salve?
Yeah.
You must get through a lot of lip salve. How about Vaseline?
No, apparently it's just a certain brand that's the best thing for my hands, otherwise it just flares up really badly.
Is that right?
Yeah. And another thing. you know, people talk about crystal healing and how crystals are good for you.
Well, I'm, count me in the, Oh, I'm having real difficulty coming up with words tonight in the skeptical box.
Well, what I did, I had some fruit, and like normally like fruit lasts like 3-4 days. Well, I put a crystal by some fruit on the table, like apples and oranges, and I've had some apples now, they've lasted 4 weeks. And yeah.
And how do they taste? Still crispy?
Yeah,
I doubt it.
Yeah, they're okay. This is strange. Anyway, That's what I wanted to say, really.
Does it also work with butter?
I haven't tried that.
Well, it's something to think about.
Okay, then.
Thanks a lot, Sandra. Bye-bye.
Bye.
0500 1053 89. It is a freak all. Here is one in Surrey. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Vic.
Yeah, hello, Nick. Yeah, I listened to your program earlier on the radio. About your thing about the Channel 5.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah, and I can't find anything on the Wednesday's evening TV. And tonight there's something about some sort of hotline. But on tomorrow, there's an adult thriller. So well, I don't know if it's all what you said earlier.
Vic, let me look it up for you. Thursday night. Wednesday, last night, was 11:30, compromising situations described in this magazine as soft porn.
Yeah. And tonight is?
Tonight is Hotline, 11:45, Erotica.
Yeah. It doesn't say that in my program.
Well, you could better get a new program.
That's right. And tomorrow?
Tomorrow. There's a movie.
Yeah, adult.
Which one's that?
Adult thriller, it says on Channel 5. Just so that you know. But I think your program's really great.
Thanks very much.
Yes, okay, bye.
I just cannot get my head around this, because this is the kind of thing that people see in France. You know, and then they come back here and they sort of bemoan the fact that English television is so kind of uptight. But they're actually showing it now, and nobody seems to have discussed this. That is the part that I can't believe, that there is an outrage, and the Independent Television Commission, or whatever they're called, aren't sort of up in arms and banging on Channel 5's door, and Mary Whitehouse isn't freaking out, and the Daily Mail doesn't have a campaign going, and, you know, all of this stuff. None of it's happening. Am I the only person that's seen this? Well, I guess, because it's on Channel 5. If it had been on Channel 3, perhaps, then people would be busy freaking out about it. And, you know, papers that do pornography for a living will be saying how disgusting it is. Right next to a picture of a woman with her tongue out. What's going on in there, Kev?
The computer's broken.
Which one?
You know the big thing that you play the effects off? It's all right for you playing your effects off it.
Yeah.
For playing everything else off it, it's a bit dodgy, so we're just trying to sort it out.
Gonna ring RCS.
Yes.
That's the company involved, isn't it?
Well, very good, the RCS.
They are good. Everybody know that. Any fool know that.
They're just a couple of slight teething problems with the system.
Of course, like any new system that comes in, any computer system that comes in, always teething problems.
That's
naturally.
Right. That's right.
It's then the more complicated and complex and fabulous the system, the more complex the teething problems.
Yep.
Is this something that we can overcome?
Well, let's just say the next time we press that next button, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay, here's one in Manchester.
Hello, Nick.
Steve.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Just got a question for you on your opinion. Private number plates, mate. What do you think of private number plates?
I think they... If you might as well wear a flashing light on your car that says aerosol.
I think you might as well kind of wear something that says I don't pay enough tax, basically. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we're talking about several kind of £1,000 to have something that says M4AK and the person's name might be Mike or something. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's sad, and I wondered on your opinion, and you agree with me, which is very good news.
Yeah, I do. I think it is a bit pathetic. In America, you can just buy them. And it's relatively inexpensive. You can, and as long as nobody has got that actual word, then you can just go ahead and buy it. And I think you also buy it for a short period of time, don't you? You have to change your license plates every now and again in the States, whereas here you get it for the life of the car. That's right.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
The government deregulated it a while ago, and it just seems to me now it's like taken over from the mobile phone as being a really kind of annoying, sad thing, you know. And you can't even see how annoying and sad the person is behind the wheel because they've usually got tinted glass or something, you know. So, you know, I'm just glad you agree with me, mate.
The bizarre thing is that it really draws attention to you, which to me is the last thing you would actually want.
You'd
want to
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're an accountant, maybe that's the only chance you got.
Well, I suppose you might be right, yeah, for accountants only. All right. Thanks a lot, mate.
Similar light.
0500 1053 89 free call. This is Talk Radio. I'm going to play that. Press that next button now, and we'll see what happens. Do you think I should play it now or later?
Please do, then we can sort out the teething problems we're having here.
Okay.
5, 4.
Oh, don't do this.
3, 2, 1.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
Free call 0500
1053 89. He's as honest as the day is long, as you can trust.
Okay, let's charge through some of these now. Here's one in Aberdeen. Hello.
Hi, Nick, it's Roy here. I was talking about fruit. Your girl was on earlier on saying if you put a crystal next to fruit, then it'll last for 4 weeks.
She said that, yeah.
Well, apples and pears, they last that amount of time anyway. So, like, this theory with a crystal is such a load of rubbish. And I just think that people who are gullible enough to believe in crystal power, you know, they would just latch on to anything like that and, you know, take it as rain, you see?
Yeah, I think you're quite right in that respect. Apples and crystals do not improve the quality of your apples and pears. Oi! It's funny that people from Aberdeen also speak Cockney rhyming slang. Here's one in Orpington. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mike.
Jim.
Hello. Hello, Mike. You got bumps on your head?
Yes.
You haven't been trying to hang yourself on an elastic band, have you?
Man, you've got the material, Jim.
Hey, nice to hear you, Nick. And your old mate's back again.
Who's that, Ben?
He was out in Morocco, wasn't he? Didn't I sound like that? Well, both of them sounded like the one you had on while he was away. But you know, you said about the skin rashes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And doctors, it's best to go to a proper dermatologist, isn't it?
They don't know nothing, mate.
Well,
nothing.
I had a boil on my nose, and my doctor said to me, you want to watch it? I said, watch it? I'm sick of the sight of it.
Well, he left us on a good one, eh? I know, it must have been a picture. What a picture, what a picture, I'm silly, I'm bum, 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 bum. Do us a favour, Jim, stick it in your family album. Here's a mobile in Birmingham. Hello.
Hello, Nick. Nick.
David.
Hello. As a student of human nature, can you begin to explain to me why feng shui, all of that rubbish about where you put things in your house, is given credence as if it's scientific, whereas most people don't believe in stuff like horoscopes?
Well, the thing about feng shui is that most of it is common sense. It's just sort of distilling...
Well, what a comment about energy flowing out of your house? What about that is common sense?
No, what I mean by that is, you know, where's the most common sense place to put a table in relation to a window? If you put it so that you're looking out of the window, then you're going to be daydreaming and staring out the window, so you'll get little done. If you put it so that the window is at your back, then the shadow will fall across your table. So if you put it side on, then you can turn and look out the window in a contemplative way. You also get the light from the window, and that also happens to be the ideal feng shui thing. And having lots of plants around, it sort of increases the oxygen in the air and gives you nice vibes, whatever they may be.
Hang on, that's like management psychology and interior design. But
exactly.
When it comes to having a waterfall in the east corner so that your love life doesn't go down the pan, how is that anything different to astrology, your life being ruled by the stars
right.
and the sky?
Well, at that point, I sort of part company with the feng shui. But I think most of it is, you know, a waterfall in your house. It's like ionization of the air and putting moisture in the air and so on and so forth. A lot of it's common sense, but I don't know. I think it's just taken too far because it's like witch doctor stuff. You know, a lot of witch doctory is common sense. You put an antiseptic on a wound, however you might get an antiseptic in the, you know, in the Congo, wherever it is you happen to be. I'm sure they don't have witch doctors in the Congo, but you know what I mean. But the dancing around and the shaking the stick and wearing the goat's ears is, you know, part of, is an added, is to give your service added value, because it kind of puts some sort of a mystical thing on what you're saying. So if somebody said, well, you want to put your table so that you get the light of the window, I mean, that doesn't sound Like, it's worth £200 an hour. But if they say, well, you put yeah. so that you get the light of the window and improve your love life if you have it at 45 degrees to, you know, due north, and then you'll, you know, achieve, you know, for 6 babies in the next 3 years.
Well, all I have to say to people, you know, some people really deeply believe in it and will pay £500 an hour to have their office redone or something, and those people have to stop and consider what China, the most populous country in the world, has managed to do with itself, with its magical, mystical feng shui. They tried to rule the world with communism, and now they're building flip-flops cheaper than everybody else. So if that's ultimately what, that's the ultimate thing that really gets me. If there were any proof, I mean, if the Chinese were world-leading businessmen for hundreds of years and ruled the world with an iron fist, then you'd have to say that there may be something in it, and they get the most out of themselves. But this is a pretty backward country for all the resources it's got.
But they do have great flip-flops, though, David.
Anoraks, email Nick now. mabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
And we're back to you now.
What, no out thing? No
yeah.
funky music?
Well, the computer's still broken.
Really? How's this? Where were you staying in Morocco, by the way, Kev? Did you stay at the YMCA?
No.
Really?
No. Stayed all over the place.
You can get a good meal, or whatever it's, however it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's dropped off.
So it's nice that my first show back is being such a raging
success. Such a colossal screw up, you know, yes.
But nothing to do with me.
Oh, naturally, yeah.
It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got the wrong feng shui. Ring, wrong, ring, bling, 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 bling. David, are you still there? No, he's not. Here's one in Portsmouth. Hello.
Hi, Nick. I want to film a band, but I'm a really crap bass player.
Yeah?
I play my bass like a lead guitar, and I like really cool music, but I can only play crap. I can only play really cruddy heavy metal music. Any tips?
No, I don't have any tips, but you should tune into Channel 5 at about 11:30 this evening, okay?
I am a really, really crap bass player.
Okay, yeah, you said that. 0500-1053-89, free call. Here's one in, it's mobile, let's take him straight away. He's in, Knots. Hello.
Hello.
Chris.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, good. I was just wondering about these porn channels.
Yeah.
On Channel 5. Have you got cable?
No.
No? Oh, you're missing out. Missing out a lot. On Channel 14 live TV. From 11 o'clock, there's porn.
Rudery?
I'm very rudery.
Now, you say I'm missing out, implying that I would enjoy such a service. Which
well,
is
would.
A very, was very offensive for you to have said that to me, Chris.
Well, I'm sorry. It's just the way I picked it up from what you said earlier. The way you sat there all night. You said you sat there all night until it finished.
Is there anything about this show that sounds as though I would enjoy something of that salacious nature?
Nothing at all.
Nothing that strikes you, no.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, mate. 0500-1053-89. Now I know that all I have to do is get cable, and I'll be in seventh heaven. What's that, Kev?
It's a very nice shirt you're wearing.
Is it?
Yes.
What were you going to say? Note the break. We have to take a break. Is that what you're going
to
say?
We're going to have to take another one, yeah.
What, now?
The computer system has screwed up. There we are. I'm mad about it.
So we're playing more breaks than we were going to. Nobody cares. Who cares?
No, we're playing the same... Oh, I don't know.
Here's another genuine country song title. Who are you going to believe? Me? Or your lying eyes? How about you can't deal me all the aces and expect me not to play? Or you can, this, I like this one, you can't have your Kate and Edith too.
Anoraks, email Nick now. mabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
So it appears that we have played in one ad break too many, because Kev's back.
It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's fine. We'll give our advertisers a second bite of the cherry. And I believe that that's the title of the film on Channel 5 this evening. Second Bite of the Cherry. I can't wait to see that one.
Is it made in Canada?
Is it made in Canada?
Yeah.
Why, what makes you say that?
No, I'm just wondering, you know.
Well, the male lead might come on and say,
I don't think I've pulled it off yet.
And he'll be back after the break.
Oh, yeah, just a reminder that Ian, Mike, the creatures and all that are on it. What time? One.
Yeah.
After James.
No.
They're a happy little gag.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, they really are very happy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, you've been away for about 3 weeks, and already...
2.5.
Just today, it must seem like you never have left.
Well, it begins to make me wish I'd never come back.
Do you feel all kind of stressed out? And because you must have... that's a good long while to be off work.
Well, it's actually 2 weeks and 3 days.
Right.
So it's not...
But not counting... You're not counting weekends, so it's almost... It's pretty much... 3 weeks.
It is actually the longest holiday I've ever had.
Because I haven't had anything over there about a 5-day break in years. I can't remember the last time I took 2 weeks off. It was probably with my parents. You know, back when I was like 15 or something. Hmm. It's always been like long weekends, 5 days at the most. Because when you're paying for it yourself, the thing that really kills you is the price of a hotel.
Yeah. Although in Morocco, they're all, even the 5-star ones are, you know, not as expensive as you might imagine.
Really? Mm. How much for a 5-star hotel?
Well, the...
And is a 5-star hotel in Morocco the same as a 5-star hotel in Barcelona?
I don't know. I just know that if you stay at the poshest hotel in Casablanca, where you probably wouldn't want to stay for too long anyway, then it...
Why not?
Because it's not as nice as you might think. Everywhere else is nicer. Marrakesh is nicer. Rabat is nicer.
Oh, not the hotel. It's the place itself.
No, the hotel's gorgeous.
Right, okay. And how much?
About 400 quid a night.
What?
It's about 400 quid a night.
A night?
Yeah.
You're mad, mate. That's the same as the Savoy.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is kind of the equivalent.
But I thought you said it doesn't cost very much. How much do you earn?
About 250 an hour. What's funny about that?
£250 an hour? Man, you're on more money than I am.
I don't think that's true.
Seriously, a 5-star hotel in Morocco costs 400 a night. No way.
One of them does, yeah. But you can get cheaper ones where it costs, you know, like 10 or a night or something, which are still all right.
We are talking about the YMCA again, aren't we?
Not somewhere I frequent.
Oh, come on, Kev, you can get a good meal and, you know, whatever the hell it is. He says,
young man,
you can see how you feel, or whatever it is. There's no need to feel down, Kev. There's no need to feel down. Come over here and feel this. 0500 1053 89. It's a free call because we're going away now. So I just thought I'd really fox the audience.
What's happening tomorrow?
And give the number out. Oh, it's... I don't know. What should we do tomorrow? It's Dress Down Friday. We've done Punk Night for a good long while now. Maybe we should throw in a curveball. In fact, that's the movie tomorrow night on Channel 5. Throwing in my curveball. And do something else. What do you think, Creative Kev?
How about Dress Up Friday? No, seriously. I think we should.
Country song titles. You're ruining my bad reputation.